You're listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 26, our hosts, Mitch Glenn and Brad Wigman, interview Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame inductee Bill Cooper. Cooper is an outdoor journalist and photographer, along with hosting his own radio show and online TV show, Outside Again Adventures TV. Tackle Time features Pico Lures, Pico Perch. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Wigman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish, to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the easy keeper coil system. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. I'm your host, Brad Wigman, along with my co-host, Mitch Glenn.
How do you do, Brad? Hey, man, we got one of your longtime buddies on here. World famous, the one and only Bill Cooper.
You guys are hurting me all I can say. And I don't know who told you that he and I were friends.
Well, y'all been here for a couple of days. Ain't kill one another. You know, in Arkansas, that qualifies.
Here it is. I was just gonna build you up. Go like, yeah, he like, oh, Bill, man, was a freshwater.
I got a bad habit of doing that. Yeah. You know, sticking my little foot in my big mouth.
Yeah. Here's Bill Cooper, you know, freshwater fishing Hall of Fame guru, a legend in his own mind.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. I got over that.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I'm in my 70s now. You know, ego, just not much anymore. Yeah. Along with a lot of other things.
Yeah. Bill does a lot of things. He's got a radio show, Living the Dream Outdoors, yes, besides being an outdoor writer, photographer, videographer, does everything.
Yeah, I've tried a lot of things, succeeded at few, but, you know. Yeah. My dad was a World War II vet, and he just constantly, never give up, never give up. I've had nightmares about that statement.
Yeah. What's next? Let's try that, too.
Of course, he was always whacking us with a hole handle, too. That was a great encourager. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You didn't have a lot of choice in the matter, right?
So we're going to take you back, way, way back.
Well, I've been called a dinosaur. How far back we're going, Brad?
When did you write your first story that you got paid for?
Oh, wow. Man, I don't know that I really remember. I tried to convince them to pay me when I was in high school. Does that count? I didn't get paid. But.
No, you got this. Is when the cash was flowing, buddy. When the cash was flowing.
I can claim, I guess, when I was in the military. I did a tiny bit of writing for them. I told you the story. You know, I got in trouble right off the bat. Uh-huh. And no more landed in Vietnam. And I guess they saw I'd had a few writing courses, and that qualified me. You know?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's military.
Instant journalist.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And I can't even remember. This has been over 50 years ago, Brad. So I can't even remember the little paper. It was for the battalion or something, you know. But I'd done a little helicopter ride, I told you, with a hippie helicopter pilot. He was smoking joints and drinking Jack Daniels, and I'm thinking, I'm going to die, you know. And I was a new second lieutenant. We were all powerful, you know. Everybody hated us because we were young and dumb, knew nothing, but we were in charge of a few things, you know. I thought, I really ought to write this dude up. No, I better stay out of it. You know, it could get worse by the minute here. Well, sure enough, it did. I mean, we cleared the hills and hit a first rice paddy I ever saw, I guess, and this guy turns the guns on. I'm kind of lulled. And I was napping back then, too, Brad. I'm just kind of, you know, kind of out of it, man. But he turned the guns on, woke me up immediately. I thought we were taking small arms fire, so I got my M16. And look, bunch of people down one end working, down the other end, this water buffalo. This guy's shooting up these people's water buffalo. And I, why did you do that, man? Was, well, I'll tell you, because I can. You know, and you just well get used to it because it happens all the time. And unfortunately, it did. And I was just pretty disgusted. But you know how you are when you're young. You get to, you tell your story, and everybody's laughing and hee-hawing. Yeah. I got the... Well, maybe this is kind of cool. So my first story I wrote for the military was entitled How to Hunt Water Buffalo with a Huey Helicopter. The troops loved it. Man, I was a hero. But I went from hero to zero the next day when the colonel called me in the office. You know, he'd already caught some flack about it. And, you know, that stuff in the military rolls downhill very fast.
Yep. All the way to the bottom.
I always thought I had a pretty good rump. When I walked out of there, there wasn't much left. I thought, well, my writing career is officially over.
Yeah.
But I got to continue writing, but everything went to his desk then.
Yeah.
I was very controlled after
got
that.
Your first editor, huh?
Yeah. So, but I was officially being paid by the U.S. military.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And when you came out of the military, did you just say, hey, I'm going to be an outdoor writer? That's the glamour, and that's where it was at.
No, actually, Brad, I knew that by the time I was 8 years old. I've always said, you know, my mom, bless her heart, she's 91 years old now, the last of 13. But my mom did her best to make sure that we read. We had, and we were so poor. I mean, we were really poor, didn't realize it, because everybody around us was in the same boat, you know. And I actually thought, time or two I was rich, you know, compared to some of the other kids around me. But Mom kept, of course, we had the Bible in the house, and we had Reader's Digest, which, boy, was just awesome back in the day.
Yes.
Had some good quality stories in there, and some short stories, and I always said, I wore that Reader's Digest out.
Yeah.
But my mom still checks on me this day, make sure I read my Bible.
Yep.
She does. She still box my ears.
There you go.
But by the time I was eight, I was paying for my own subscription to Outdoor Life magazine. That was another one that I absolutely wore out. You know, I read Jack O'Connor and some Ernest Hemingway and those guys back in that day. And I was just so inspired by them. I thought, man, that is the life of all lives. And I was at that time looking at more at the adventures that these guys went on than the writing. But I finally, you know, in a year or two, I figured out, they're getting to go on these adventures because they're good at what they do. They're writing, you know. So I kind of studied their styles a little bit, and I like to think I'll probably take after O'Connor more so than Hemingway. He was kind of out there a little bit, you know, a little flyer power going on, I think. Or
I think he might have used Flyer Huey.
Yeah, he might have been a guy flying that Huey helicopter for all I know. But anyway, you know, I had heroes, man, and, I mean, they were a serious part of my life. And I got it. I probably shouldn't even tell this, but I got into high school, man. I wrote for the high school papers and that kind of stuff a little bit, you know. Well, they had a journalism course. No, buddy, I am going to knock that out of the park. I'm senior, you know, a little cocky, played football and all this kind of stuff, you know, having a big time in high school. I thought high school was heaven because I went to a little old country school. We didn't have anything, you know, to speak of. We didn't even have ball teams, you know. We had a concrete basketball pad out there, and we played baseball and that sort of thing. But I got to high school. They had a football field and a track and gymnasium and all this stuff. And, man, somebody around here is rich paying for all this stuff, you know. But I was going to take all advantage of it I could. But my senior year, I signed up for this journalism course, and I was so hungry for education. I had so many credits. I could have graduated midterm, not even – stayed for that second term. But I want to take that journalism course, and it was the worst course I ever took in my life. It was horrible. But I got talked into doing the photography work for the yearbook, you know, the athletic stuff, and boy, they gave me a camera to use, you know, first real camera I'd ever had in my hands, and man, I was just on hog heaven, except the teacher that taught that, bless her heart, I loved her to death, but all the course was about, if there was a list of something, I don't care if it was 50 items long, you'd better memorize it. That's all the test was.
Yeah.
And so I just got tired of it, and I think I had a B in the class, but I just got up and walked out one day. I had enough. Well, it wasn't long, the superintendent had me by the shirt collar, you know, and he kind of really gave me a rough time. I said, well, I'm not going back. Well, you're going to get an F. I said, well, can I borrow your phone and call my dad? You know, my dad went through the seventh grade, but he believed in education, but he didn't believe in abuse.
Right.
So I was going to make an appointment between my dad and the superintendent. Superintendent clicks the phone off, and he said, you'll get your B in the class if you'll just do the photography work, you know. So I went ahead and did that. Yeah. I learned some negotiating skills. I thought I was going to get my rear end beat, you know. Yeah.
Here comes the hoe handle.
Yeah, but I got out of that journalism class, and it jaded me a bit because I'd kind of really thought seriously about, I was going to the University of Missouri at Columbia, and they had a world-class journalism program.
Yep.
And I thought, man, if a high school class is bad, how bad is it going to be in college?
Right.
You know? So I really set that aside and went to got a bachelor's degree in park management and a master's in outdoor education, but took quite a few writing courses, you know, creative writing, whatever. But the toughest writing course I ever took was in the engineering school. I was in graduate school, and it was a technical writing course.
Wow.
And so, man, I was nervous, you know, because – at grad school, you only allowed a couple of C's, you know, and you're out. You know, and already had one. And physical education, of all things. That guy just didn't like me or something. You know, I'll blame it on that.
Yeah.
But anyway, we show up at class, about 20 of us, and we sat there for 20, 25 minutes. Nobody showed up. So we're getting up to leave, and this guy walked in. Brad, he was taller than you. And half as big as round as you. You're thin. I mean, this tall pencil guy. He had curly hair, looked like red, looked like Bozo the Clown, a beard to go with it. He had this real deep voice. He's carrying a stack of books. He's juggling them, about 3 foot tall, and he drops them right on the floor. He goes to pounding on his desk. He said, guys, I've been the boss of a logging camp in Canada for the last 5 years, and I took a break to come down here and teach technical writing. He's, oh, by the way, but a semester, half of you guys will be gone.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we're all, man, I mean, you're all shaking in our boots, you know. Oh, this is going to be a bad deal. And so our entire grade was based on a term paper.
Wow.
At midterm, everybody was failing. But he told half of them not to come back. I don't know how he determined. We all had Fs at midterm. But he privately told half of them, don't come back.
Some of you was better Fs than others,
I guess. It was the strangest thing I ever run into in my life, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to get kicked out of graduate school. I'm going to fail this class. But we were putting this paper together piece at a time. You know how discouraging it is to get one F after another and that just stacks up, you know. It doesn't do anything for your ego, man. And so, I got to hang in there, you know. I kept hearing my dad's voice. You don't give up. You don't give up. Dad, you're not here, man. You don't know what's going on, you know. But we got down to turn that paper in, but I wrote the same paper for a parks and recreation class. Very same paper.
Right.
And I turned it in. So last day of class, man, we've all got our fingernail bit back into the quick, you know. We are a bunch of nervous kids. And so this guy comes in. He never smiled, you know. He just a sourpuss stood and through. And so he starts passing out papers, man, and the tears are just flowing. Man, kids are boohooing in his class, man. And he got down. I didn't get a paper back. Well, I'm not crying yet, but I'm close to it.
Only thing worse than getting a bad paper is getting no paper,
man. And right in front of everybody says, Bill Cooper here? And I'm, that's me. He's pointing his fingers, look like it's a foot long, you know. I want to see you after class. Oh, my gosh. What can be worse than an F? Yeah.
Get a spanking?
Yeah, I'll handle it.
I guess, man, I just got all this stuff racing through my head. So he lets everybody go. Now I'm cornered in the classroom with this guy by myself. You know, I think he's going to break out an axe. It's going to be a nasty axe burger, you know, right here at the university classroom. You know. And he asked me, he said, Did you write this paper? And I pride myself in my honesty, you know. And it really offended me. I said, what do you mean did I write this paper? I've been turning in pieces of it all semester long, you know. And he said, well, it just seemed like it fell together awful well. And he said, I consulted a friend of mine, you know, he teaches journalism as well, and said he won't give you an A on the paper. He said, I'm not sure about that, but he said, you come back tomorrow, and we're gonna look at this overnight. And I said, well, tell you what, I turned it in to the same paper into another class, and here's the prof's name and number if you want to call him and talk to him. And I knew he'd stick up for me. That was my only hope.
Ace in the hole.
Yeah, that's my only hope at this point. So I didn't sleep all night, man. I kind of staggered back in there the next day, just waiting for the axe to fall, you know. He said, now, you're not lying to me. You wrote this paper. I said, sticking to my story, you know, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And he said, well, we stayed up late last night discussing this, my buddy and I, and oh, they're probably just drinking, you know.
Yeah.
But I think they rolled the dice is what happened. Yeah. And he said, can't give you an A, but I'll give you a B+. I was never so happy in my whole life.
Wow.
And I think there was one A in that class, two Bs, and like three or four Cs, and the rest of them were F. There was like six or seven people out of 30 that passed that class.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I was never so relieved and kind of proud of myself, you know.
Yeah.
So... and we're going to switch over to radio. Tell us about radio, but tell us about Living the Dream Outdoors. Tell us about that program.
Well, Living the Dream Outdoors is one of the most unique things that's ever happened. It was kind of a spinoff of a program I was doing prior to that for ESPN out of Rolla, Missouri. And I had turned that program over to another young man kind of aspiring to do radio, and I was kind of burnt out on it. But Living the Dream had approached the radio station wanting to sponsor that program, and he was kind of disappointed. He dropped out pretty quick after I gave it up. But he called me, and he said, I'm thinking about doing a radio program based on the real estate business, and we call it Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. And believe me, they find the neatest properties all over the country. I think there's like 8 nationwide owners, and this guy out of Cuba, Missouri, Daryl Hyman, is one of the owners, just a very unique individual, loves the outdoors, and he hires all of these young agents who are outdoors people, you know.
Right.
And so anyway, I'm thinking, scratching my head, and I'm kind of thinking, well, this is kind of weird, a real estate program, but we generally talk in the first segment of the show, they'll talk about some fabulous property, you know, just makes my mouth water, you know. And it's a standing joke now because I started right off the bat badgering him. Daryl, I do get a key to this property, right? So I can explore it, I can hunt fish and put a drone up. And then, I can spin off some articles. You know the pitch, Brad.
That's right.
Yeah. And I got a resounding no.
Yeah.
But we go through that about every week. You know?
Yeah. Never give
I
up.
Said, people, can you all see through this microphone? I'm down on my knees begging for a key to the gate. You know, so that's a big joke. But this guy can talk the outdoors, and he often brings in agents. They talk about properties, and they talk about their outdoor adventures, you know. But Daryl Hyman has a sweet piece of duck hunting property in St. Charles County. He's got a great dove hunting property. He lives on a big place down around Cherryville, Missouri. And his son just caught an 8-pound largemouth out of the lake right there, you know.
The one they won't give the key to.
Yeah, and I don't have a key to that. He won't give me a key to anything.
Have you explained Hemingway's adventures and how that helped him further his career and everything?
I'm scratching my head. I thought everything.
How am I supposed to do my
of?
Job if I can't get in there and hunt and fish?
Exactly.
Right.
He knows how to say no.
Yeah.
But great shows going well, and how long they'll keep it up, I don't know, because he literally finances everything. He pays the radio station. He pays me. The deal was I would sell a couple ads, and he'd sell a couple of spots. You know, I sold mine. He never has sold his. It's like it's not a concern.
Yeah.
And I'm 71 years old. I'm not real fond of going out and selling ads anymore. I just think that's pretty good at it. But, you know, COVID's been tough. And and plus the fact when I left the radio station, all the people I had sold to, they rolled over, and the new guy got them, you know. So it's not that I can go back and get some of those people, although I've got one that's been with me in one manner or another for decades, Cowtown USA.
Yeah.
They sell ATVs, UTVs, boats, and their largest sales item is horse trailers.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. But these guys got a hold of me. August, 2 years ago, I was promoting. They have their own boat. A Legend SS is built for the rivers, you know, jets. Right. They sell a lot of big jet motors. And they gave me a call and said, Bill, stop advertising boats. I said, why? Did I do something wrong? They said, no, you're doing it too right. We never had so many people mad at us. It's taking us 8 months to get one of our boats, you know. So I got kicked out of boat sales and primarily do UTVs now, you know. Just advertise them, use them. I take them to deer camps. Brandon, that's why Brandon invites me to deer camp, you know. I'll bring
I see. Big, your boat.
Yeah. Bring a nice big UTV to ride around in, you know. Yeah. Then they chew on me because I scratched them, that sort of thing. And, I cry a little bit, and they give me another one next time.
So I don't know if which outdoor communicators group that we actually met in. Maybe MOC was the first one, but yeah, there might have been one before that, possibly, like CIOPA.
Well, Missouri Outdoor Communicators has been just really a gold mine for me because I got to rub elbows, you know, with Joel Vance, Spence Turner, those old timers, you know, and they taught me so much. And I was so intimidated by those guys, you know, and I thought, well, I'll crawl in the crack in the door or something, you know. But they were really pretty kind. They could be a little harsh at times, you know, trying to correct your dumb rookie mistakes, you know. But they did put you on a straight and narrow, gave me ideas. I would have never done a radio show if it hadn't been for those guys. I would have never written a book if it hadn't been for those guys, you know. But, yeah, that's where we met, Brad. I belong to some of the other organizations, but I'm not a big conference goer. I've never been to a CEO conference. I paid dues for a long time. Joined the GLOW a couple years ago. And I was in OWAA until they had the big split with POMA.
Right.
You know, that created. And I was in POMA for a while. But particularly now, I'm just so old, I'm not sure it'd do me a lot of good to go to those things. And I have so much work, I don't know what to do with it anyway.
But you do go to MOC conferences.
I do. I certainly do. Because that's where my heart is.
Right. And that's like saying like MOC, Missouri Outdoor Communicators,
yes,
is and we can say it is because of the people that we've learned from, the writers before us or the photographers before us, and so you join and you're able to learn that
absolutely. And I'm just amazed that we don't get more young people joining, but we've had an influx of young people in the last 5 years or so.
That's right.
We were getting to be a pretty old organization, and it's just so cool to these poor people. I think we smother them sometimes, Glenn, because they come in and we just kind of jump all over them, you know, and give them such opportunities. Yeah. Now the really smart ones, they jump on it right back, you know. Right.
Some of them it scares half to death.
Yeah, it does. You know, you're intimidating them just like we were intimidated, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So, but it's fun to watch their eyes in it. You make them an offer and you take them, or you offer them a lure, or you hook them up with somebody, you know. And some of those guys are doing some superb work, man.
It's scary how good some of the people are that we have in Missouri Outdoor Communicators, how good they are at what they do. When you're looking at some of those photographers or you're looking at some of those writers, you know, I read their stuff and I'm like, God, I wish I could write that good.
Yeah, I could have started like that. But, and particularly when it comes to social media, now you're great at social media, but these kids blow me out of the water. Oh, man, I'm learning from them. I had one young man, I can't remember if Felgenheuer ever joined MOC or not, but he was an ex-Marine, big boy, kind of got him started in writing, and I've never seen anybody take off like he did. I mean, he was getting gigs with big magazines and stuff, but unfortunately he had two children and both of them had some problems, you know, and it got to the point that he just had to be home more and more and more. And I'll never forget the email he sent out to a bunch of us, this is going to be my last day as an outdoor writer. That kid passed some jobs on me were better than any jobs I'd ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
You know? Yeah. So you never know what you're doing by helping somebody. We've all been helped. Yep. It is just so much to help these guys. Ryan Milo, we call him.
Yep.
His last name, Milo Shesky. That's a mouthful.
That's right.
We call him Milo. But
Milo.
he's one of my favorites, you know. He's kind of a crass little guy sometimes, you know, but boy, he's just a fireball. He is so eat up with it. And
Tyler Mahoney's another one.
Yes, he another is. Very talented. Yeah, he's young, writing for the Kansas City Star or something.
I know. Yeah. Look at that.
I'd like to write for the Kansas City Star.
So if they want to learn more about the legend, Bill Cooper, where would people go? What kind of social media are you on that they can find you?
Don't believe everything you hear. But I have aoutdoorstv.com.
Okay.
Used to be with an actual TV show, but I just kept it on, you know, do the YouTube stuff a little bit. But I post the better stuff on that site, and it's just a website.
Okay.
AOutdoorsTV.com. I had a Blogspot thing that's kind of slowed down. I'll post something on it once in a while, you know, and that was outsideagainadventures.blogspot.com, and nobody's going to remember that. So.
That's a mouthful.
It is. It is. But you could probably just Google Outside Again, come up with a lot of that stuff.
Okay.
I have a page now called the Fly Rod Journals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Post a lot of stuff there. Try to get people from around all the way from Alaska to Yucatan to post stuff, and they'll do one or two posts, and then they kind of fade, you know.
Right. But
I just try to feed all these things a little bit. I'm not near as active as Brad Wiggeman, you know. We all look up to him as the guru and MOC. Right. If you want to know something about social media, you talk to Brad.
Right.
But not the fireball that Brad is, but it all, when it comes together, I don't know, it just gives me a good warm feeling, you know.
Right.
Because I do post a lot of the article material. I do a tremendous amount of work for DeerCast, you know, the phone app the Drury Brothers started.
Yep.
And so they encourage us to grab our post off of their site and put them on our websites and all that, you know. What do you call that, networking, Brad?
That's networking. Whether you're old or whether you're young, that's really important to learn that network. That's actually networking. The old school is like going to Missouri Outdoor Communicators and joining that. That's kind of old school networking.
Right.
But new networking is also using that what you're getting from social media that you can use. And so Bill is the wizard when it comes to putting everything together. I mean, so
that's
I see you.
First time I've been called a wizard. I've been called a dinosaur many times.
Yeah.
Great to have you on, Bill. Appreciate
it. Oh, great fun. You guys, you know, got to spend a couple of days with you. Got to meet Mr. Glenn here.
Got to watch a wild turkey get him a drink.
You did. Yeah, you guys are good hookup. Pico Lures, great thing. I'm glad you picked Brad up. He needed a job.
Yeah, believe me, I'm glad I've got him behind me.
I only work because I just want to go fishing. So I do a little work,
Kendrick,
and then
Hart.
I try and do a lot of fishing.
Hey.
All right, that's our show for this week. Thank you, man.
Thanks for being here. Enjoyed the time.
Hey, it was fun.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass Jig Heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, today's Tackle Time features the Pico Perch. You know, this Pico Perch came about way back in the 30s and 40s. These things, in the fall of the year, like we're up here on Stockton Lake right now, and there are tons of shad schooled up in giant balls in the backs of creeks. And those fish, all game fish, are coming up there and schooling on these things. What better bait to throw than something that looks like a shad in the middle of a pile of shad and try to catch these game fish than a Pico Perch? Now, I'm going to give you a tip today on how to use a Pico Perch to catch bigger fish. We call it yo-yoing. You're going to throw this thing past those giant balls of fish, let it sink down through them, and when you see them scatter, you're going to drop that Pico Perch, just let it free fall to 4, 5, 6 foot, and then just rip it straight up. Do it over and over. When these game fish are chasing shad like that and they're coming up to the top, they love to see wounded ones fall. This Pico Perch resembles that like no other bait you've ever seen. Give a Pico Perch a try.
Hey, and it's also a matching the hatch and the size and having that little bit smaller profile on that.
That's right. And it's got the action. It's got the sound. It's right there with them.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. Please subscribe, rate our show, and
tell us what you want to talk about.
Exactly. So for Mitch and myself, keep your hooks sharp and your lures in the water.
Hehehehe